The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up.
Because passion is one piece of love, you know, and it's attached to intimacy and commitment in different ways, depending on your gender sometimes,
right,
and your personality.
And we've had people show up in our counseling office saying, hey, we don't love each other anymore, when what they mean is they've lost that loving feeling, the passionate part of love.
Using conflict to bring you closer when you fight the good fight in your relationship. Next on Life Today.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. We've got Dr. Les and Leslie Parrott back. They are counselors, psychologists. They are professors and New York Times best-selling authors. And they have been with us years ago and blessed us, and we have kept up with their journey. You know, marriage counselors had really better know their stuff, or they may not have the best marriage, I found out. Because, you know, when you hear about all the trouble, sometimes it can load you up. Interestingly, as they were doing all this marriage counseling in some of the great churches and great settings in the country, whether they were seminars, sometimes community-wide or city-wide, they found out there's a major problem. Married people fight. Now, what did you just turn and stare at me for? You know, that smile, it gives you an edge when we fight.
You have to let me win, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I have to. You know what? We have these intense moments, and I got to be honest with you, they have made us stronger in our love relationship. They have not driven us apart. They've drawn us together. Mm-hmm. Well, this is what the doctors found out, that there's a good fight. There is the right fight, the right way, for all the right reasons, and makes you better. Where they're going to talk about what the big issues are. The big five, fighting through the big five. What are the big five? You want to take a guess at some of them? How about money, finances? How about sex? You want to keep going? Well, why don't we ask Dr. Les and Leslie Parrott what they think? Would you welcome them to Life Today?
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I want to know about this.
I know you're going to get to sex. I already know that. But,
Look, I have admitted this openly, that I think sex is great, okay?
Yeah.
And I think that, and also it can be so very, very destructive. As a matter of fact, I was very distracted and could have been destroyed by it. I actually could have been. And the grace of God and the power of God and the love of God and the love of a great woman and the love of believers who, when I cried out and said, you know what, this thing can be a great distraction, an unholy attraction, and dealt with it. But the fact is, it should be a meaningful part of relationship. So I don't mind bringing it up because it's important to most guys and important, you know, if you do counseling, you'll find it's important
for sure.
to a lot of women.
Right.
And they don't seem to be very happy, or they're married to somebody that doesn't seem to understand what might make somebody happy. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. And it is. It's one of the big five. We know from research what it is that most of us fight most about. And that's one of them. I should tell you up front, by the way, when you said, these specialists, these psychologists have to have it all together. We really think of ourselves more as pilgrims than proclaimers.
We're
the first to admit, you know.
Sharing on your journey?
Yeah, we feel like we basically make our living by telling other people about our mistakes and how we, try to recover from them.
Yeah, and working our way out really is where the passion for this work comes. We have empathy for every married couple.
Yeah, you've got to be authentic. You can't just write a book on conflict. Hey, we never have conflict now. Of course we still have conflict. It's how do we do it? In fact, I'm thinking we had a speaking engagement in Portland, Oregon. It was early in the morning. We were driving from our home in Seattle, Washington.
It's a very tender memory.
And one of our topics of tension is maps. We are like directionally challenged.
He came into this marriage believing that if I loved him, I would be a navigator for us.
Because my mom did that for my dad. And I always,
when you're driving.
When dad was driving, mom would be over there with the map and make sure he's going the right place and all that. And it never occurred to me my wife wouldn't do the same thing.
Meanwhile, in my experience, my dad was the maps guy. I mean, I couldn't tell you right now if I'm facing north, south, east, or west. I have no idea. So I can't imagine that you could ever equate navigational skills with love.
Anyway, we're driving. We're having this little tussle in the car that just kind of was one of those conversations. The wheels fell off. And we're about
to
get...
And we had pressure because we had to get there on time.
Yeah, we're going to give a marriage
seminar.
She's
not doing a good navigation.
No, she's not doing what a loving wife should do, right?
Okay, right, all right.
And so...
This is before iPhone and iPad and all that.
Yes, we didn't have a GPS in our car or anything. And we pull up toward this church. There's this huge billboard out there with a picture of us on it. And it says, Becoming Soulmates, Doctors Les and Leslie Parrott. And she just said, keep driving. So I just want to make it clear. It's not like we've mastered conflict completely. We still grapple with it like every other couple. But I can tell you this, after doing all the research, we know how to fight a good fight now. And the result, it brings us closer together. That's the promise of this.
Touch on some more of the big five. You've already hammered out sex, at least making it clear to everybody that that might be an issue for some people.
Yeah. You know. Money, of course, tops the list. Most
financial
people know
issues.
That.
That's right. What surprises us is it doesn't matter how much money you have, whether you have little or a lot, it's still a topic of tension because there's so much attached to money, the values and dreams you bring in, the power, who's making the decision. So there are a lot of factors that make money a loaded issue for couples.
Yeah, and if you begin to look at how money was handled in the home that you grew up in, it can shed a lot of light on why you might be having some of that tension. And, you know, typically one person's a saver and one's a spender, and so you have to kind of work that out.
Or as you call me, a money monk.
Yeah,
I don't like to admit money even exists in the
world.
Yeah,
it's like, money, what's that? She just has no idea that you need
money
in life.
Does she spend it, though? Yeah. I mean, does she like
that? Oh, she spends it, yeah.
She does?
Right, yeah. She will spend it, but not like...
Measure it.
What he doesn't like is that every time I pull through Starbucks, I like to pay for the person behind me in line, because that's twice the fun.
Yeah, you know? Okay. Yeah, what does your car look like? You wouldn't want Beth Moore following you out. I don't think Beth ever misses the one of them. She hits them all.
Well, that's the truth for us. I don't drink coffee, but she drinks enough for both.
And you're in the Starbucks capital in Seattle.
Yeah, right? You're a Seattleite.
A few years ago, we were invited by the governor of Oklahoma to literally move from Seattle to Oklahoma City to work on the first ever statewide marriage initiative. Why Oklahoma? Because it has the second highest divorce rate in the country.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
That's unbelievable.
Right there in the buckle of the Bible Belt. And so we did. We moved to Oklahoma. It was a fun opportunity to work with a big, huge campaign. Mm-hmm. And anyway, after maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 days there, Leslie discovered at that time, this is about 10 years ago, they didn't have a Starbucks in Oklahoma City. Mm. So she went in the governor's office and said, I can explain the divorce rate here. You guys need to get coffee in this place.
That's funny.
But yeah, conflict. So money is a big one, of course. Sex ranks number 2 in most surveys. And that covers a lot of ground because it's not only like who initiates that or what it is that I want out of this relationship at a sexual level, but it's also the fear that... you will use sex as a weapon, that you'll withhold it, or you'll, you know, and so that becomes a big issue.
And it's big because passion is one piece of love, you know, and it's attached to intimacy and commitment in different ways, depending on your gender sometimes and your personality.
And we've had people show up in our counseling office saying, hey, we don't love each other anymore, when what they mean is they've lost that loving feeling, the passionate part of love. But that's not all of love. There's commitment and there's intimacy, like Leslie said. So sex is another one. Housework. This is an amazingly...
Yes, chores.
Yes, this can cause a lot of friction for couples.
Here's what we've noticed. There's almost this unspoken rule about there being this gratitude quotient, where there's an expectation sometimes on one spouse or the other that if I pitch in, I'm doing your work for you, so I need to get a lot of praise and a lot of attention for what I've contributed. Right. That can sometimes lead to a fight.
Right. Are you looking at me like you have something on your mind? Parenting's another big one.
Seems like, though, they know how to do it better, doesn't it? It seems like they know how to do these things better.
Who? Women?
Women.
We should just let them do that? Is that what you're saying?
Women should do it so well.
You're on your own right there, Pat.
I really would prefer to do it myself. I've seen his house more.
She was gone a few days when the kids were growing up, and I... Well, I think maybe Rhonda had gotten married. Yeah, Rhonda had been married, our oldest daughter and I. So Betty had been gone. I said, well, I cleaned the whole house. I did the spring cleaning, honey, while you were gone. And she said, really, how long did it take? I said, it took me 45 minutes. And she and her oldest daughter, they laugh. That's the funniest thing we ever heard. We can just see Daddy and the other thing. Did he clean the baseboards? Did he do this?
Right.
Did he look here? And they said, we can just see that. It's really funny. So she thinks she does it better.
So we know what kind of most couples fight about. What about you guys? What's the number one thing that you guys fight about? What's the most predictable topic?
Well, he says that that if he said calls me and he said, I'll be home at such and such a time, that if he's a few minutes later than that, that just turns my whole world upside down.
Right. So you take that as a problem.
Because I'm a precise person.
Right.
They have expectations. You know, they time how long it should take you to do that. You're going to play nine holes of golf. Well, it should take you this long. And that's the way they think. And if you don't live up to the expectations. So I have learned, I have this incredible wisdom.
Kind of worked it
to
out.
To make her know that it's going to be a lot longer than she expected. And I get there early. And it just makes you so happy.
Oh,
it does. Betty, we ought to stop and just pray for you, right?
We're in this counseling session. Yeah, that's good that you brought that up. That's amazing. But don't you think women have high expectations, and if you don't meet their expectations, I mean, you're the guy, you're the counselor, for crying out loud, isn't here? They have these expectations. Am I telling the truth? Do you not have them?
Well, I'll tell you what. I do want most out of my relationship, so I might have some high expectations.
It goes both ways, though. I'm going to be fair about that. We all bring in
Let's move on to another one of the big five issues.
Well, I'll tell you this. One of the biggest kind of insights that we got as we looked at all the research out there was really what makes up a good fight. Like we said,
what's at the heart of a good fight?
We said last time, that there's dumb fights and there's good fights. Mm-hmm. Well, what is a good fight? And we came to this thing that we now call the core of a good fight. It's four things.
Right, which is easy to remember even in the heat of emotions. You can go, okay, where am I at on
core? C-O-R-E.
Right.
You got it.
All right.
And
the
so
core.
The first one, let's talk about each one of these. The first one is cooperation. Mm-hmm. Now, this
both
is...
Both of you want it together.
Yes.
Mutual.
Yeah.
And in spite
the win-win.
Of, yes, a win-win. And in spite of your fight types, in the book we have a chapter and we have a little assessment you can take to figure out which of the four fight types you are.
And you can be a cooperator even if you're a competitor in your style of fighting.
Well, we're both competitors. She might not admit it, but she's
I think the difference is
win-win
that we've
girl.
Decided we're not in competition with one another. We're on the same team.
We're on
I love
same
that.
When only
you
one
know?
Person wins in the relationship, that means there's a loser.
Right.
And that means you
That's
lose.
No good.
Both of you lose.
We got to both win.
So cooperation is essential. And so we drill down on that in the book and talk a little bit about how do you get to that cooperative spirit.
That the O is for ownership. This is huge because some couples say, look, we're talking about an issue and it is not my fault. I'm not going to own this. But what we'll say to the couple is, well, here's what you can own, even if it clearly seems to be your spouse's fault. You can own your reaction to what happened because that's a part of the mix of the fight that unfolds.
And we sometimes call it owning your chaos pie. We think of when there's chaos, there's friction between us. There's this pie. How many slices are you willing to own and say, I contributed to this much chaos in this situation? Mm-hmm. And you remember that cell phone I told you about yesterday? We got a little app on there that you can literally drag your finger around and take the slices. And if you both do that, it'll show you, okay, all right, we're both, one of us may not be wanting to own this, or maybe one's owning too much, whatever, and that insight can get you to a place where you have that kind of cooperation,
and
right?
And when you're taking ownership of it instead of placing blame, that's when you start working toward resolve, and that's the point of the whole thing.
So, cooperation, ownership, the R is for?
Respect.
Right.
And this has all to do with what you convey to the person you're in the fight with. You know, I'm not going to fight in a way that shows my pride and cuts you down. I'm going to fight in a way that shows what a grand person
and
you are.
And too often, we know this from research too often in a conflict, you try to kind of cut the other person down by belittling them and being sarcastic. Oh, way to go, Einstein. Regular genius, aren't you? You know?
Or using even just the nonverbals.
Yeah, do you know what one of the most toxic things is that we do to our partner in a conflict? It's not even with uttering a word. It's just rolling the eyes. Mm-hmm. when we roll our eyes at our partner, and we've been in the laboratory, a scientific laboratory, when a person's hooked up to biofeedback equipment, their heart rate is being measured and their skin temperature and so forth, and when, especially, this is true, you'll like this, especially when a woman does that to a man, the man looks like a feather fell on his head. He didn't even notice it. Inside, he's going bananas.
Yeah, because men he wasn't respected.
Be respected.
Yeah.
That's
I think men, when we feel dissed, and I've told Betty, I feel dissed, you're disrespecting me, and that really, boy, it makes me mad. And if it's the only thing I'll say, Betty, this really makes me angry.
Right.
It makes me angry. I don't like it. And I'll go ahead and express it. It makes me do what I said, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't like to be dissed. Men want to be respected. There's
that's
something about honor.
Absolutely.
Is that an appropriate thing that a man feels like he should be respected?
Yeah, well,
I know we need to earn it. We need to deserve it. We need to be worthy of it. But there's something inside us.
Yeah, I think it's hardwired into you.
We feel like we really need to be respected.
Yeah. And you can't have a good fight without it.
Right.
And it goes both ways. She needs to be respected. As well. And so, but that is essential. That is one of the four ingredients that you've got to have to fight a good fight.
I'm point blank determined to respect her. I really am. And I want it back. And, and that's why if she, I don't think she'd ever mean it, but if it comes across like it, and I just say, I feel like you're dissing me, right? I'll say that. And she'll reflect on it, you know. She might diss me one more time or two to make a point. but the point is that's big to us.
Right.
What's the last?
And by the way, one of the best ways to do that is just simply to listen to each other. It's not like, wow, what do I do to respect you? It's very easy to respect a person.
No.
It's to hear them.
And we do that.
Yeah. All right. And then here's the last one. And I got to tell you, this is my favorite one, and I'll tell you why, but it's empathy.
Right.
C-O-R-E. E is for empathy, that capacity to put yourself in your partner's shoes and see the world from their perspective, to accurately see it. Now, why is this important? We know from research, 9 times out of 10, this is 90% of the time, if you did nothing else to resolve conflict, we know that your conflict would dissipate solely because your partner feels that level of deep understanding.
That you identified with them.
Right.
You know, and this doesn't mean you set aside your perspective. It's a temporary choice. I know what I think happened. I'm going to set this aside and enter your
side. And empathy changes you.
That's
the other thing. It's not just about what it conveys to that person.
Yeah.
You begin to see the world differently.
Right.
It changes you. And that's why it's so risky.
I am convinced that if we really mean it and we say we want to put our life in the potter's hand, that the pressure that comes, pressure is intended by God to shape us. However the pressure comes, whether it's filtered through God's fingers or comes from His fingers, if we feel pressure, any pressure that we feel, God intends in His eternal purpose and kingdom purpose to shape Christ's likeness in us. And that's what we need to learn. Would you say thanks to Les and Leslie for sharing their insights and really your journey as pilgrims you're sharing. And let me just say this. There's just so much contained here in the book, and they're great writers and great communicators. They're gifted to do this. They're not only trained to do it, they have a gift from God to do it and a desire to do it. Now, there's their website again. I want to just put it up there. If you want to learn to be a mentor because you've been blessed in your marriage and you'd like to help someone else in theirs, for every marriage that's strengthened and the marriages are strengthened 1%, a million children's lives are positively affected. So there's how you can learn. There's the website. Now, we will send you the book, The Good Fight Today, as a gift. You can get it in the bookstores. You can go online and get it. It'd be wonderful to do that. But we'll send it to you as a gift if you'll do this. And I know the parents like this. We're going to give, with your help, fresh, clean water to people that have never had it. And it's killing their children. And it's destroying their health and their future. I want you to watch very closely something that's going to be so clear to you. When you see the compassion of God through a caring person, watch very closely.
This heat, this oppressive heat, it drains you of energy, just like it robs this ground of water. What's left is often a death sentence. These women, girls, so young, I watched them again and again, drawing from their only source within miles. Twelve-year-old Tulsi, what a precious girl, born into such adversity, into impossible circumstances beyond her control. We all have a role to play. And I feel especially burdened by mine, because as I look around at these scenes before me, I'm so conflicted with how to adequately bring their stories to life. Their struggle for the most basic of necessities. For if I can't help you see it, feel it, how can your heart know how to respond? A death sentence. That's what I'm holding in my hand. Dear God, you came to make all things new. Beauty for ashes. A new heart from death to life. Father, please, I know you see her. Bring Tulsi life-giving water. Take away this death sentence.
Tammy was there because of the prayers and concern of missionaries who planted their lives in the midst of pain. Here is that bottle. It was Tammy's water bottle. Here's that beautiful little girl's picture. Here is the water that Tammy got. It's filthy. I wouldn't give it to a pet, to an animal. We don't have to in advanced countries. We can get clean water. You can even go and buy bottled water in any store in the country if you're not satisfied with the tap water, which is so far beyond anything people know. She was crying out in behalf of a little girl that represented thousands of children in the villages and their family, the 500 areas that we've targeted in 12 countries, where missionaries with a heart like Tammy expressed have directed our steps to say, would you please give these precious people Jesus died for? And we want to tell them about the love of God, but we'd rather demonstrate it too. Would you do it? And we come to the viewers of Life Today. The missionaries know that. They come to us because they believe that together we have the heart of God to help the hurting and the suffering. And Betty, they're convinced the viewers of Life Today will help. And I believe they will.
I do too, James. And I look at this and I see not only her picture, but I see the pictures of child after child, because there's so many of them that have this same need as she does. And James, yes, God does care about every one of them. He loves the little children, but he wants to use us, his children, to reach out to these children that are in need. And we can do that. That's our responsibility as his children, to love and to reach out and to respond when there's a need.
I think it's a joyful responsibility to respond. Do you know what our staff and workers told us when they gave us this bottle? They said, be very careful not to get it on your hands. That is the water. It'll make you sick. Isn't that something? It'll make you sick. Well, I'm grateful that our own staff would care enough to say, be careful with that. It's contaminated. What about those precious children? You see, we really do care about them. I believe you care about them. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Help us drill those wells. 500 wells, that's the most we've ever taken on in faith. And it's because of the prayers of the missionaries who direct our vision, our sight. Here's the place. Would you drill a well? Would you drill part of a well? Would you give toward a well? $48 will give 10 people water the rest of their life. A gift that just keeps on giving. Would you take your bank card or write a check, make it to Life, and call us and tell us you're mailing it? Or go online, lifetoday.org, and make that gift. $144, 30 people have water. Many of our viewers, including children, it's amazing what they do when they set their sights on it, give entire wells. There are couples that do it, individuals, small businesses that do it in church groups and prayer groups, but also children. If you could possibly drill a well, please do it. We're going to need some people to drill a well. $4,800 or give $2,400 and pray. God help someone match this. If you can give $1,200, pray for three people to join you. We've got another well. It's going to take all of us together doing what we can, doing our part, expressing God's heart, extending His hands of love. Would you do it? Would you give a cup of water in Jesus' name or a well of water? Please dial that number or go online. We've got some gifts to send you to say thank you and to bless you as you bless others. Thank you for making that call. Please don't be distracted. If you get a busy, be determined and call until you get through. Thank you for doing it.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Majesty, an inspirational new fully illustrated book that will help you discover the promises behind the many names of God. With your gift of $100 or more, be sure to also request the Names of God pen set, custom crafted with the various names of God and the gifts of the Spirit. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Living Water. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
I do want to remind you, this is our commemorative bronze, Living Water. And it just has the beautiful gold inlay on it that's just beautiful. And we're sending it, if you'll help give a well, a portion of it. And we're sending Majesty for any gift, the witness pens. And also today, if you'd like to have it, you make a gift to help us, whatever level God tells you to give. And you'd like to have the good fight. I want to not fight to win myself, but for us to win and to grow stronger. I think this will help you do it. Join Betty and me again in saying thanks to Les and Les and Eric. Doctors, thank you both.
You bet.
Thanks for being a blessing to us.
You bet. Thanks for having us.
And there again is their website. Go on there and find out all you want to know about helping someone else in their marriage. You'll want to do it. Thank you so much.
Tomorrow on Life Today, after her son's tragic suicide, Vanita Halliburton not only struggled with a broken heart, but a shattered faith. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.